Is there anybody in here that's living a victorious life? Amen. All right. And if you're not living a victorious life, that's good. If you're not living a victorious life, I'm just going to give you a couple of pointers that might hopefully would help you and bless you and just to show you what it is like to live a victorious life. I will definitely tell you I am not a perfect soul. I tell you I done made so many mistakes in my lifetime, but I'm so grateful for God's forgiveness of my life so that I can be able to speak to you about what God has done in my life to help me along the way. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful. So I just want to say to those that are actually watching online, to our Outer Park campus, we love you. Everybody's doing a great work, and we just pray that there's something that we say and do today would just make you feel and just want to be in the presence of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God is awesome. And so I just got some questions. I was stating earlier this morning, when Pastor Jita asked me to speak, my mouth and my heart instantly said yes. But y'all know how that goes. When you get home, you're like, what in the world did I just agree to do? And I'm so grateful she had mercy on me. She said, well, you can do two. You don't have to do the third one. I said, oh, praise. Praise God. I need a little time. I don't know if I can do all of that. And I'm so grateful that to have the opportunity, like I said, it's always a blessing to speak before the Lord and just share what he has done in our lives. And so as we're talking about living a victorious life, I had asked my husband, I said, honey, is it okay if I speak? What do you think about me speaking? And he said, you got it. God is in you. You can do this. Don't let the enemy come against you. Don't be afraid. And he said, most importantly, be you. And I said, oh, okay, that's cool. Hey, I got it now. God, if I'm, man, oh, my God, I can't even express this enough. To have the power of the Lord on the inside of you, because it's not me, it's God. And when you tap into who God is on the inside of you, and then you be you, my God, the things that can happen in your life, the things that can change in your life when you allow God to be him in you. Amen. And so that's a part of being victorious, living a victorious life. When you know who you are, that's telling me, and that's telling everyone else that you can live a victorious life. And so I've got a couple of questions that I want to ask you, and I want you to either write it down, just suck it all in. You can answer it, or you can just take it when you get home. But I definitely want you to ask yourself these questions. And now question number one, if you're going to live a victorious life, and this is a rule of thumb that I have since I'm up here. When I do put the scriptures up there, I want you to read it with me because our words have power. A lot of times we hear the word, but we're not speaking the word in our hearts, and that is so powerful to actually speak the word of God. And so my first question to you is, if you're going to live a victorious life, you have to have your mind set on the things of God. You have to have your mind set on the things of God. So the question I'm going to ask you is, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? It's 12:04. What am I going to eat for Mother's Day? Your husband says something out of pocket, and you still sweating about that. Kids got the house tore up. Now I got to go home and cook and clean because they messed up. The service is too long. I didn't get my parking spot or my seat. What are you thinking about? Hallelujah. Philippians 2:5. If you can put that up there for me. Let's read that together. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We need to have our mind set on the Lord at all times. At all times. There's no ifs, there's no ands, there's no buts about it. We need to keep our minds set on the things of God. Why? When you keep your mind set on the things of God, God is going to show you how to think about other things. God is going to show you how to think about other things. When you set your mind on God, he will show you what else that you need to be taken care of. And I'm just going to give you a typical scenario of what a mother goes like. Since this is Mother's Day, I'm going to show you what happens when a mother is, so because y'all think we just extra sometimes. Here it is. I'm thinking about me. I got to get up. I got to get to work. I got to make sure that there's something to eat for breakfast if I'm going to cook breakfast, or if the kids are there, if they need something. I got to figure out what's going on the job. I got the ministry that's going on. All these things are going on in my mind. Now, if you're not just single, you're also married. So the thoughts of your husband has to be on your mind. You need to be thinking about his needs. Have I cooked something for him? Is the house clean? Does he have his suit and tie? Does he have a meeting? Is he going to be home late? How is he feeling? All these things are going through your mind. It's just you. Oh, I got kids. Oh, I got to get the kids to school. I need to get them breakfast. I got to help them with their homework. I got to do this. I got to do that. And I don't say I got to. I get to. It's a privilege. It's an honor as a wife and as a mother. So all these things are going on in your mind. You got a lot to think about. But that's why it's so important to have on the mind of Christ. That's why it's so important to have the mind of Christ. So that way, when you get up in the morning, you say, Lord, I thank you for my husband. Lord, I thank you for my children. Lord, I thank you for just allowing me to breathe. The Lord, okay, you need to do this. You need to do this. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. He will speak to you and tell you what you need to do. So often we are so bent on trying to do things our way, trying to micromanage everything. And then before you know it, we're pulling our hair out because we don't understand. Where has the time gone? Everybody gets the same 24 hours in a day. And if you utilize it perfectly by putting your mind on God, by putting your mind on the things of God, God's going to show you. He's going to work that thing out for you. Amen? Amen. We're thinking about too many things, and I shared this earlier. Everybody knows, especially the choir, I'm not a social media person. We're not doing Facebook. We're not doing emails, Instagram, Twitter, all of that. Because I know me. I need to focus on one thing at a time. And for those of you who are Facebook, and I'm not bashing, if you are Facebook people and you have a need and you like to pray for people, that's a good way. That's a good tool to use it for. Birthdays, it's a good tool to use it for when you see people have gotten who has trouble. But my thing is I'm clouding all of what I just told you, mom, dad, husband, kids, all that, plus Facebook, plus her issues, her kids, this, that, the other. And all I'm looking really for is somebody to give me a thumbs up. Now, here's the thing. If that person is your intended target, you need to stay on that Facebook and you need to connect with that person, okay? Because there are some things, there are some social medias that's good for you. If it works for you, that's fine. But for me, I know I have to stay focused. And so trust me, if it's somebody's birthday, I'm going to know it. The Holy Spirit is going to let me know you need to call XYZ because she's not feeling well. You got to put on the mind of Christ. I shouldn't have to guess when I look at you, Leanne, that there's something going on with you. Be it happy, be it sad, there's something going on. The Holy Spirit is going to guide me and let me know that I need to contact you. I need to text you. If you've seen a text from me just out of random, the Holy Spirit's placing me on your heart. And that's the way you want to be able to operate in the Spirit, in the mind of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And how can we do that? Because there are some new believers that don't understand what does it mean to be in his presence. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Meditate. What does it mean to meditate? Have you ever been outside on a nice, warm, cool day, or not really cool, but it's just like springtime, sunny out? You smell the grass? Meditate. God created that grass. A brand new baby. You ever held a brand new baby and realized, this baby, my grandbaby, has my eyes? Meditate. Wow, what is the goodness of God? Who can do that? Nobody but God. When you meditate, God will give you all types of things. And he'll show you your children, he'll show you your husband, he'll show you your finances, he'll show you your job. He'll give you these things. That is why it's so important to spend time with God. Spend time with God. I love God's sense of humor. I love his sense of humor because I am not a person that does not like to be woken out of my sleep. I don't like that. Ooh, it better be for real. It better be an emergency. But guess what? God wakes me up at 2 and 3 every morning. Woo! But I know it's him. And I know I'm going to jump up. Because who else is calling me at 2 or 3 in the morning? God wants to speak to me. He wants to talk to me. That's my time to meditate. And guess what? Some of y'all say, I can't do it. It's 2 or 3 in the morning. I'm tired. Guess what? God will give you what he's got to get you, give you. And then he'll give you such a peaceful sleep. You ain't got to worry about that hour that you lost. God going to give you so much sleep. It's going to make it seem like you've been sleeping for 8 hours. Yeah. Hallelujah. I remember getting a call. Well, actually, no, I did not. Well, I got a call. I got a call from God. Woke me up in the middle of the night. And I said, yes, Lord. But I just kept feeling something strange in my stomach and feeling something strange in my spirit. And I said, God, whatever it is, I need you to take care of that. God then showed me my children. So I began to call their names out. In the middle of the night, calling out their names. I said, God, I don't know what's going on or who it is, but I need your protection. Whatever it is, cause them to think of you. Cause them to get out of that situation. Change their mindset, God. And then after that, the Lord said, I said, it's done. It's done. There's nothing else I can do. All my kids at that time were grown and still grown and out of the house. I said, but wherever they are, I know God's got them covered. I got on the phone that morning. I said, or actually I text. I said, okay, which one of y'all was in trouble? I do this with all of my kids, and I say, roll call, how's everybody doing? And they'll text back, all of them. When they know, when mama says it's time to respond, it's time to check in, if you all don't have check-in time on your phone, you need to have your family as a group text, your kids, your grandkids, or whatever, and say, check-in time. And then everybody, boom, 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 boom. Okay, this person was right, this person was right. But I noticed my youngest child hesitated. So I just picked up the phone. I said, hey, babe, are you all right? Yeah. Well, what's going on? Well, I went to this party, and this was when she was off in college. She was out of the house. She said, I went to this party, and I just didn't feel right. She said, they got to fighting and shooting. Someone got killed. She said, but before I left, they were fighting. After I left, someone got killed. She said, and something just told me to get out of there. Something just told me to move. I said, thank you, Jesus. When the Holy Spirit wakes you up, you need to start waking up and seeing what it is he wants, and you need to start interceding, and that's what is so important for you to be in the presence of God. Come on, give God some praise. Give God some praise. It's important to have the mindset of Christ. As we were talking about mothers, Mary and Martha, we all know the story of Mary and Martha. Some of us know the story of Mary and Martha, and I hate to assume. And so with Mary and Martha, they were expecting Jesus as a visitor, and Martha was busy cleaning and cooking and preparing everything. Mary wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's the posture you want to be in. That's the posture you want to be in. You want to be at the feet of Jesus. When we come here and we're doing praise and worship, don't worry about who's looking at you. Don't worry about it. Nobody knows what you've been through. Nobody knows your story but you. I don't even have enough time to tell you all the stuff that I've had to go through. But God, a miracle worker, a promise keeper. Hallelujah. He's awesome. Hallelujah, he's awesome. Mary chose the best part when she decided to sit at his feet. And then when you think about the woman with the issue of blood. You think she bothered anybody when she pushed them to the side or made her way through the crowd? She had an issue of blood. She had a sickness. She had an illness. And some of us are sick in our bodies. And we're too afraid to push our way through and get to where we need. We need to get to Jesus. And we're trying to do it all in our own strength. And God says, come on, I'm God. I'm who you need. Trust in me. Lean on me. Think of me, and I will show you the way. I will show you the way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Another question I want to ask for you. If you're going to live a victorious life, you have to speak positively. So what are you saying? What is your conversation like? Mm-hmm. girl, I'm so tired. I don't feel well. I'm sick. I'm going to get fired. Ooh, no, don't say that. You got to watch what you say. You have got to watch what you say. I'm going to give you a quick scripture. Proverbs 18 and 21, and I want you to read that with me. It says, death, come on and say it with me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You've got to watch what you say. You've got to watch what you say. You will not hear me say I'm broke. Mm-mm. I may not have it at this moment. You ever had somebody ask you for $17? For real. You may as well ask for the whole 20. And you study with a 20. You study. Y'all need. I'm not finna play with y'all today. You got a $20 bill in your pocket, and they ask you for 17. No, I ain't got it. I have it, but I need it right now. Or I have it. Here you go. That's the right thing to do. Because I'm telling you, when you let it go, God's going to give you. That's how we miss our blessings. We too busy trying to hold that $17 in our pocket. We too busy trying to hold on to it. We got to watch what we say. For those of you who like to call in sick, I can't make it today. I'm not feeling well. Y'all done that before? If that's you, just pinch yourself on the side so nobody see you. Don't be calling in sick. You putting that on yourself. You're putting that on yourself. I have several family members who have been diagnosed several years ago with cancer. To this day, some 10, some 20 years later, everything's perfectly fine. Cancer's gone. We didn't talk about it. We didn't bring it up. God is a healer. And guess what? If he doesn't do it, he can do it. If he doesn't do it for you, he can do it. Know that he is a healer. When I was brought up in church, that was the first thing that they told me. God is a healer. What happened here? Y'all didn't tell me. Just fell. That's all right. God is a healer. And we have to believe that in our hearts. I was told that God was a deliverer. And when you speak things like that, it registers. Somebody told me that when I was like 9 years old. And so I still remember it. And so that's why it's important as a body that we continue to speak the word of God. Stop talking about the enemy so much. Do not give him place. Do not give him place. He has no power over you. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful for God. You've got to speak life. I have joy. I have peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was talking earlier about a story of Ruth. And really what I want you all to do is in your spare time to take a hold of these Bible characters and just study who they are. Study what they represent. Some of us have heard this about the story of Ruth, and those who have not heard about the story of Ruth, it's a very powerful story. But what is captivating to me in this story is what Ruth says. Now, Ruth her mother-in-law, Naomi, and she had a sister. There was two daughter-in-laws Naomi had, Ruth and Orpah. Okay. And their two husbands died. Naomi's husband died and her two sons. They were married to Ruth and Orpah, but they died. So Naomi got ready to leave and go to her own country, and her daughters were trying to follow along behind her. And she said, no, you are Moabitess. You're from this era, and I'm from here, and I'm just going to go on and do what I need to do and go back to my people. And Orpah was like, cool, I'm gone. She didn't stay. She said, I'm going to go back to my own people. But Ruth was like, no, I want to go with you. And she said, no. Naomi said, no, I can't have you go with me. It's not like I can have another child. And what are you going to do, wait for that child to grow up and then marry him? No, I need you to go back home. Ruth was like, no. She said, I'm not going to leave you. And so this is what captivated me with Ruth. She said, in the 16th verse, chapter 1, she says, entreat me not to leave you. In other words, ask me not to leave you. Or to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. And then most importantly, she said, your God will be my God. Powerful words from Ruth. That captivated me. Not the fact that she followed. She followed her heart and followed her mind. But the fact that she spoke those words. Now, we all know, some of us, I keep saying that, the end of the story is she rides off into the sunset with Boaz. She is happily married ever after is what we think. I am so grateful for that because it could have ended a different way. But she spoke life into her situation. She spoke what she wanted to take place. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. And then here we have it. She has her Boaz. So I'm asking you, what are you saying? What is your speech like? Hallelujah. Are you speaking positively? Think about that. When you go home, don't talk about the bad kids. They're not bad. You don't have a demon child. You better do like I do. I think everybody in my house ended up greasy with holy oil over their head. Why? I plead the blood of Jesus over your life. You are the head and not the... You are above and not... You are the lender and not the... You are blessed going in and blessed... All right, you better speak some life over yourself. All right. You better speak life over yourself. If you're going to live a victorious life, here's another one. You must stand and not give up. You must stand and not give up. I wish I could stand here and tell you that I live a perfect life. I do not. None of us do. None of us have arrived. We have our issues. But one thing I do know for sure is I love God and I trust him with everything that I have. I have got to. Do we slip? Do we fall? Yes, we do. Do we miss the mark? Yes, we do. But God loves us so much. And we don't have to be afraid of what's coming our way. We do not have to be afraid what's coming our way. Ephesians 6 and 11. Let's read that together. So put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You have to put on the whole armor of God. You can't just put on half of it. You can't just put on half of it. You need to put on the waist of truth. Be truthful. A lot of our, this is not in my notes. A lot of us are struggling in our life because of our dishonesty. And you don't hear people talking about, lying a lot. The word of God says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? All right, you want to live a victorious life, you want to be free. That's one issue we have to stop doing. We have got to be truthful. We have got to be honest. We see people sick. We see people hurting. We see people on the streets. Speak to them. Talk to them. Tell them the truth. Some of us got relatives right now. You know they're cutting up. You know they're clowning. But you don't want to say nothing to hurt their feelings. You don't want to say anything that corrects them. There's a way to correct. You correct in love. I didn't have to get a whole lot of whoopings when I was little, but I knew they were coming. And the one thing that my mama did not tolerate is me being untruthful. She did not tolerate that. And when you instill that in a child, you'd be surprised at what takes place as they grow up. You have to instill the truth in the child as they grow up. The word of God says, and this is not in my notes either, it says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they get older, they will not part from it. So train. When you look at that scripture, train is the very first word in that scripture. That means it's in order. That means it's applying directly to you. It didn't say pastor should train. It didn't say your neighbor should train. I think you should train. That's a direct order. Train. Train up a child. Train up. That means up, upward, uprightly. In the way that they should go. In the way that they should go. What's in the way? Who is the way? Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Hallelujah. So that's the way you train. In the way that they should go. That's the way they should go. And when they get older, they will not part from it. Now, I'm going to say this to the ladies, and please, or even men, do not throw no bricks up here, please. 18 does not mean older. Too many of our children, too many of our young adults, it's a way of maturing for them, but sometimes when we say 18, you gone, you out the house, you done, I'm done with you, I don't want, that doesn't happen. When you train them up in the way that they should go, and they will not, when they get older, they will not depart. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're 18. We got some 20, some 30, some 40 years old that still need to understand the power and the word of God. And if your child at 18 is not rooted and grounded in the word of God, when they get out there on the streets, they're going to be tempted by so many devices. That's why you got to train them up in the church. I got tired of my mom sending me to church. I got so tired. She said, come on, we're going to church. Sunday school, Bible school, prayer meeting, choir rehearsal. I said, Mom, is there any more meetings? Why? Why? But I thank God because we understand the power of God now that we're older. It may have taken us more than we were 18. It may have taken us 20. It may have taken us when we were 30, but we came back to it. We came back to it. So to all the mothers in the house, all the parents in the house, don't give up on your child. They will come back to it. If you train them up, they will come back to it. Amen. 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 I'm sorry, that was not in my notes, but I was talking about the gird of the truth, the breastplate of righteousness. The shod over your feet, that exemplifies the gospel of peace. The shield of faith, you need to have faith no matter what you're doing. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Do not forget your word. Do not forget your word. It's good for you to carry it around, but you got to open it up. You got to put it in your heart. You got to put it in your heart. And if you're uncertain as to what you're reading, just start out slow. That's all I can tell you. Start out slow and ask God to lead you and guide you as you read his word. As you read his word. I promise you, he'll take you from one scripture to the next. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to move and get y'all on out of here. Hallelujah. What I want you to do is learn how to not to give up. Know who you are. Know who you are called to be. That's my next question. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you're called to be? It's very important to understand and know who you are and who you were called to be. Romans 1 and 17. I'm going to go real quickly so we can get you out of here. Are you ready? Romans 1 and 17 says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Who are you? Do you know who you are? I don't know about you, but if you could just think of one thing that you are, that God has created you to be. I don't know about you, but I am the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. You have to know who you are in Christ and be confident in it. If you want to win in this world, if you want to win a victorious life, you need to know who you are. Because if I come up to you and you, if there's some people that are coming in off the streets and you, me, myself as a praise and worship leader, if I don't know who I am, how am I leading you into worship? If I don't believe in who God is, or if I'm struggling with my identity of who God created me to be, then it might be a little difficult to lead you. I can't lead you where I haven't been. Amen? Amen. Last point I'm going to make your request known. So the question for you is, what are you asking for? What are you asking for? Have you asked God to do anything for you? Sometimes we're asking for the wrong things. You can have the car, and you can have the house, you can have the money, you can have all these material things, but without God, I don't know where I would be. when I pray to God, I said, God, I just want some peace. Give me peace. Peace. I want peace in my home. All that craziness, all that foolishness. I want some peace. Hallelujah. I thank God. Psalms 84 and 11. If you can put that up, it says, let's read it together. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from you uprightly. He will not withhold anything good from you. If you ask, you shall receive. If you're praying and you're not receiving, or you don't understand what's going on and why you haven't received it, understand your prayers may be amiss. But one thing that I would encourage anybody, and I hope everybody's listening, to do is when you ask for something, this is what I always tell people. If you're not certain to ask for what to ask for, God, I thank you for your favor. I thank you for favor. Do you know how much what favor covers? A lot. A lot. I don't know where that song came. Anyway, a lot. Favor covers a lot. It covers your household. It covers your finances. It covers your husband. It covers your children. It covers your job. God, I need favor. And he's just not going to give you just anything. When God does something, he's going to do it right. Right? When he does it, he's going to do it right. So if you ask for favor, he's going to do it again and again and again and again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am so grateful to God. I'm grateful for this word. I'm grateful for what he has given me to give to you. And I just to reiterate, and the musicians, you can come on up. I don't know where y'all at, but you can come on up. Hallelujah. I bless God. I bless God for his peace, his covering, his favor. I'm grateful that God took me from a place of, in my household, and just to share a quick testimony, because many of you may not know, my husband and I shared our testimony. He's spoken at the 8 o'clock service, and I've shared a little bit in the congregation on Wednesday nights that we were just having some serious issues. And for those who already know, you understand, but just kind of use your imagination. I was on the brink of, I'm done with this. I don't want this marriage. It's over. I'm not putting up with this. Those types of things. I said, God, I didn't sign up for this. He said, yes, you did. He said, for better or for worse, for rich or for poor, for sickness and in hell, till death do you part. You did sign up for this. And then he reminded me that you didn't make these wedding vows to him. You made them to me. And so for those of you who are married and children and all of this, understand that your wedding vows and your commitment is unto God. And when you honor God, God is going to show you how to work that thing out. And so I remember when all of this was going on in the household, it was just a wreck. It was terrible. And to a point where I said, God, I can't handle this no more. I don't want to do it anymore. And I began to... I was complaining. This is what I was doing. I wasn't praying. I was complaining. How many times are we complaining to God instead of praying to God? And so I was complaining to God. And then finally, God said, my girl, let me holler at you for a minute. God showed me. All of what I thought I was doing right. Sometimes we can get holy and righteous and we think because we're doing it, we up here leading and we up here going to church every Sunday that we got it all together. And God says, wait a minute, that's my child. And you continue to label your situation and putting it all off on your husband, putting it all off on your kids. God says, if you would trust me, you can be victorious. And so at that point, then I begin to pray for real. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I cried and I prayed, kind of like Hannah did. She prayed and she cried and she prayed and she cried. I cried a puddle of tears in my floor, wooden floor, still stained. I didn't want to fix the stain. I wanted to be reminded of every time I go into that closet why I had to come to this place. And God showed up in my marriage. God showed up in my house. He showed up with my children. 3 days later, my marriage was restored. The children began to glow. My husband was set free and delivered. And I said, God, when I'm praying to you, I don't want this to come back. They say when you push something out, you cast it out, it comes back seven times worse. I said, no, we not. I'm praying this right now. That's not coming back. It's not allowed in this house. And so you've got to learn to set the atmosphere in your house. That is what I have for you. You've got to learn to have faith in God. You've got to learn to trust God. You've got to learn to seek God. You've got to learn how to pray to God. And here's the big bulk of this story is to set the atmosphere in your home so that you can live a victorious life. Set the atmosphere in your home so you can live a victorious life. I asked for those pictures to be put up simply because we have gotten out of what's the word? We've gotten away from sitting there. We've gotten away from sitting at the table. And for those of you, and like I said, don't throw no bricks up here. Women, it is so very important that you cook. I know I wasn't going to get too many amens on that. Listen. Hold on. Bring it down just a second. Because I don't, y'all been asleep all this time. Now you done woke up. That is the one trait that we as women and mothers have that should nobody take away from us. Now, I know y'all don't like that. I don't want to cook. We like to microwave everything. Listen, it's an important thing about, there's something about cooking, there's something about cleaning. You always want a clean house. You always want a clean house, and you always, listen, I'm talking about setting the atmosphere. I'm not trying to pick at anybody. I'm not trying to make fun of everybody, because this message is for me too. Because when I was in my depression, when I didn't want to cook and clean for my husband, the Holy Spirit said, cook. That's the first thing he told me, cook. Are you serious, God? He said, cook. And I did. I cooked with love. He was going through what he was going through. I cooked with love. I prepared the food for him. And he looked at it and he ate it. At least he pretended to eat it, because I knew he wasn't eating. He was throwing it out. I told y'all we were going through some trouble. He thought I was trying to get for the insurance money. That's all. He wasn't eating that food. But the Lord said, cook again. And I cooked and I cooked. And finally he began to eat. But here's the thing that I'm trying to get to you. Cooking is the only thing that I can think of right now that would give you five, that you have to use all five senses. And that's why it's important for you to in my mindset, to set the atmosphere of your home. First of all, the smell of it is good. It'll draw any child out of a room. You having trouble getting your kids out? Cook. You have to smell what you're cooking. It has to smell right. You have to see what you're putting in there. If you're breaking things, if you're putting things in there, you want to see, make sure ain't nothing in there. Lord, and this is your time. This is your meditation time. Listen, nobody's in there cooking in that kitchen except for you. Do you ever notice that? First of all, as a cook, you don't want anybody in there. That's rule number one. Perfect time to be with God. Rule number two, when you cook, you're cooking with love. You're praying. You're meditating. You're saying, Lord, I thank you for this meal. Lord, I thank you for my husband. I thank you. This is your time with God. If you are so busy out and up, cook. You got to see what you're doing. You got to smell it. You got to hear if that water's bubbling. If something is beeping or dinging, you need to be able to hear what that is so nothing burns. So you got to use that sense. You got to be able to taste it. Amen. You want it to taste right. You know what you like to eat, what you want it to taste like. All right. And touching. You got to be able to touch it. You got to make sure that it's right. And the reason why all of this goes together is because the Holy Spirit allows us. He gives us these senses for a reason. And when you cook, you set the atmosphere for your home. Those children will come home. I promise you, I got three of them. They grown. And if they come to the house and I have not cooked, there's some problems in the house. Or if my husband hasn't cooked. And then that's another thing. I know that there's men that cook, and that's good. There's men that cook, and that's a good thing. You got a double blessing if you got a husband that can cook. The thing about it is God designs you when you're married for his weaknesses, your strengths, and he puts them all together. And so my husband cooks. He's clean, and I love it. He cooks, he cleans, he does everything. I love that. He cleans more than me because he is like OCD times three. So I'll vacuum and he'll go right back over it. So all right, knock yourself out. But anyway, the table is so important. Too many times the husband is in the man cave. You've cooked dinner. The kids are outside running, or somebody jumps up on the couch. So somebody's eating over here, somebody's eating over there, the husband's downstairs, and you are left with this food. You want to talk to your family. You want to connect with your family. You want to look your kids in the eyes. You want to look your husband in the eyes. You want to see what pain they're going through. Get them to the table. Set the table.